Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are
Hi.
you?
Very good.
We got the internet working. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I appreciate your time tonight, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to I have a few interview questions. I appreciate your time today. And I just have about 10 questions, and whenever you're ready. We can, I just like to go down through the questions, and then after I'm done asking you these questions, I'll be posting them and editing them online. So whenever, do you have any questions?
No, I am ready though, and you can use it to post it online. I mean, you can use it for public, and and I have the consent forms I'll send to you.
Oh, great. Good. Well, thank you. Thank you again for doing that. My first question I'd like to start with is, what does leadership mean to you?
Well, and I do have a list of the questions here as well. And I've thought about this a little bit. Over the years, Erica, the way it's worked for me with leadership, I always am under the philosophy that I do not like to have individuals do things that I wouldn't do. So my main goal in leadership is to lead by example. But also, and so I try to put that out there in everything that I do, and everything that I do around leadership, I'm talking about. So leadership by example is the what defines me. And but it's also, and I you may have heard this before, but it's getting individuals to do things, but in such a way that they are very willing to do those. And so you've got to be able to identify individuals' strengths and weaknesses and know the way, a way to get to those strengths so that it can really help as a team. So it's a leadership by example and knowing your team and their strengths and weaknesses. So you do have to be quite involved with the group that you're involved with, or you've got to really know the group that you're involved with and develop a sense of trust between that group and yourself. So
Okay.
that's what it is to me.
Okay, great. No. Good answer. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. The second question, I know you had that. It says, like, what are your leadership positions and community roles you've held in the state of Maine? I didn't know if I could maybe get a list of the different positions and roles, but if you do have some, I know that I've had a few of those, but yes, what are the different, what are the leadership positions and our community roles you've held in the state of Maine?
Well, there's a number of different roles. I will get a list to you, but I'll state four or five different ones that I've had over the years. As far as on a civilian side, I've worked as a career-centered employment counselor, and even though I didn't lead individuals, I handled a program when I initially started working with the state. So that was more of a manager of a program. And people were coming to me, particularly around testing with the state, because that role also included being the one of the state program testers for the state. It was more of an assessment thing where I actually myself and one of my coworkers handled a state testing program, and individuals are coming to us to be trained for testing. Employers were coming to us to use our program, which is a general aptitude test battery, very similar to the ASVAB for the military. And we were the my coworker and I, we were the leads for the state for that. And like I said, employers from all over the state, individuals, other career counselors from all over the state were coming to us to be trained, and we were the knowledge people on that. Another thing with the state was, towards the end of my career, I was the veterans program manager for the state, which included taking care of a $900,000 state contract for the state of Maine. And it was all around the veterans programs. And there were anywhere from 10 to 12 veteran program individuals that work with veterans programs. And I was the lead for that, the manager and the lead for that program. It was a federal program. I was also a employment training specialist 3, which meant that when the career center manager was gone, I was the career center manager for one of the top 3 career centers in the state, which was in Bangor. So, and which included supervising and managing up to, I would say, probably, well, 10 to 12 individuals at the career center. So that was around the career center, my civilian. I also, as far as my military experience, I was the state human resource advisor for the Maine Air National Guard, which was the, which included up to roughly 1,200 Air National Guardsmen. So in the end, I was a state human resource advisor, advising the top military officers in the state, which was the TAG, the Adjutant General. And on my way, as I progressed through my career, I held a number of different leadership positions around electrical superintendent on deployments to first sergeants for both squadron level and wing level, et cetera. So there was a number of different leadership opportunities for me in those positions. And third, and this area is minor, but it actually is something that's noteworthy, at least to me. I was the first selectman for a small town in Maine, which is LaGrange. It had about roughly 500 residents, and the first selectman in that town, in that particular town, they didn't have a town manager or anything, but in essence, the first selectman was the town manager for that town. And I went from third to second to first selectman and did that for about 4 years. So I've had experience as a civilian in my civilian job of 25 years. I had experience in my leadership experience in my military role for 33 years total. And then also as a community leader with the first selectman role for 4 years. So those are just a few of the things. And I did deploy quite often and was in different leadership roles for other things as well, but those were just a few of them.
So. Okay. So the third question I have is, through these leadership roles, what valuable knowledge and skills have you learned as a leader that would help educate others in leadership positions?
Yes. There's each one of those three, you know, major categories between the civilian job, military job, and the community leader position. There's different things that I've gotten from each one of those. One of the things, as far as the civilian job versus the military job, is that you really got to be open-minded around. Any leader has to be open-minded, particularly around civilians, because they bring to the table, individuals that you are leading bring to the table a sense of an ability to be able to, well, it's not so much of an ability, but it's just a different mindset than the military would. Obviously, in the military, you can tell people what to do, and they have to listen to you. Even if they don't agree with you, they have to listen to you. And as a military leader, I always try to do the best by the military. And like I said earlier, that I always led by example. So I wouldn't really want anybody to do something unless I would do it myself. But in the military, sometimes you have to. And so you can get to that point where you just tell people what to do. And they don't like it, but they have to do it. In a civilian environment, you can't do that so much because they have avenues, different avenues to be able to either work around you or to just sit back and not do it. So you have to really be open-minded on how you want to approach military individuals. The civilian individuals versus the military. So those are some of the things that are different in those roles. And then when you go to the community leadership position as a first selectman or even as a town manager, you really have to be listening to what those individuals are telling you, because it may not be something, they might be telling you something that's really passionate to them or something that's really bothering them, or for some reason, it doesn't have any effect on you, but you want to do best by your community in those situations. So you have to really be have a active listening ear to what they're doing. So I guess the bottom line to answer the question is that you have to really look at things differently depending on the leadership position you're in and the role that you've taken. So that's one of the big things. And that's just knowledge stuff. So some of the skills that I've learned, which I felt that I've had some of these skills over the years, is just be an active listener. An active listener is somebody that actually hears the individual, what they're trying to tell you, and you respond back to them in a way that they know that you understand what they're saying. So that's an active listener. And be open-minded, you know, and don't be afraid to say, you know, I don't understand what you're getting at, but please help me understand. So those are some of the skills that I learned, and I think those are some of the key things. And one other thing, which is I think major, is that you've got to develop that sense of trust. The individuals have to be able to have a sense of trust in you, and you have a sense of trust in them, and be able to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, because as long as you know what their strengths and weaknesses are, you can use that trust to make sure that they feel like they're part of the team, and use that to make them feel like they're part of the team. You go after their strengths. No matter how minor it might seem, it's really important in helping develop that trust. So,
thank you. That's a good one with what people should be seeing in you, and then what others should be seeing in you, and what you should be seeing in them in order to create that relationship, which leads into the next question. It says, when did you realize that you wanted to be a leader in your organization? Did you realize it?
Yes. It's strange because it's not strange, but I think it's typical of any on the military side. We'll talk about first. Whenever you see a supervisor that you're leading and you don't agree with the way that they're doing things, and so I realized I want to be somebody. I want to lead that person because that guy doesn't know what he's doing. That's one of the times in the military when I know that I could do a better job than they can. As far as in the civilian side of it, it's a little bit of the same truth there, but also it's about being able to accept the fact that that at some point you don't want to be at the bottom of the rung. You don't want to be the one doing all of the grunt work, so to speak. You do want to be the one sitting in, or I always felt that I wanted to be the one sitting in the front office and being able to be effective and understanding of how people that I'm leading, can get through some of the problems that they're getting through. And probably overall in the long run, because of my childhood upbringing and being one of the oldest or the oldest male in the family a dysfunctional family with my mother and father split when I was young, I always felt like I was helping out my whole family, my 7 and 8 brothers and sisters. So I felt like I was developing some leadership skills even at a young age. So when did I realize I wanted to be a leader in the organization? I guess it's as soon as I got in, and I didn't like the way things were going.
Right. So, yeah. Has this you've kind of answered the fifth question with some of it. Is how has your knowledge and experience helped you lead others in the state of Maine? Is there an experience or something that you'd like to that relates directly to that? Because
I know I think it we'll go right to the military piece of this, Erica, because I was selected as the first sergeant for a squadron level because of my leadership abilities. And so as a squadron first sergeant, individuals come to you for guidance and assistance. Not so much about technical skills that they've learned in the military, but more about issues that they might be having between individuals within shops or even at home or family. So I think that some of my civilian job experience crossed over into the military because my civilian job, I was always helping people look for work or work around barriers around work and some of the barriers related right to family issues. So I think.
The next question was number 6. It says, what are the most effective leadership skills that you apply while leading others in your organizations? Or are there some skills that you should be aware of while you're leading others in an organization? So basically effective ones, but also non-effective ones that you'd want to be aware of.
Well, I tell you, I think you have to develop a sense of trust with the team that you're leading. If you don't have that sense of trust, then it's not going to be a real productive team. And so the individuals that you are leading have to be able to trust you. You have to be able to trust them. And so that's one of the things. And to develop that trust is that, to me, it's around that lead by example. You know, I can show somebody that I can climb to a top of a 150-foot telephone or a communication pole. And even though, you know, it's been 20 years since I've done that, but I would do that just to develop some trust with the shop, and did that when I was the bully, because I was asking them to go up there. Or I would stay out there in the middle of the night until 12 o'clock to make sure that the electrical that we were working on got done. I wouldn't be in bed while the team was out there when it was a major issue that we were working on. I would be there with them. So developing a sense of trust is a key to developing a good team. And make sure that you include everybody on that team. Everybody has to be included in the work that you're doing. No matter how small it might seem, one of the things that I'm leading right now, I'm the state chair for the Employer Supported Guard and Reserve Program, and we have 25 volunteers. And I lead those 25 volunteers, and each one of those volunteers brings something different to the table. But I make sure that no matter if it's a 3 hours a quarter that they get involved in it, I ask for their advice. This is a team of experienced community leaders, military leaders, etc. But I make sure that they're included. And if it's a matter of getting an opinion on something, or if it's a matter of actually relying on them to get something done, because I know what their strengths are. So that's it, I guess.
No, that's a good example. Thank you.
You got to listen to them. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Do you believe that leadership styles, the next question, do you believe that leadership styles and skill sets are beneficial? If so, how would you go about applying them within an organization while leading a group of people? And it's almost like you just answered that question with the last thing that you just said with the ones, but do you have something you want to share? Or I could just go right into the next question.
Obviously, yeah, I do believe that leadership styles are beneficial and skills are beneficial. The only thing I want to add, Erica, is, and kind of emphasize here, is that you have to shift your styles a little bit depending on your situation, which I explained earlier around working with civilian individuals, working as a community leader, or working in a military environment. There is a shift there. Okay, that's the only...
Recognizing those shifts at those times.
Yep.
What leadership traits would you apply while leading others in your organization? Are there any good traits that you would...
Yeah, I think I've answered that in a number of different ones, which is developing a sense of trust and actively listening to individuals, making sure, and this here comes from an old philosophy by Stephen Covey, which is the only way you're going to be understood is if you understand. This is under an old total management can't remember the TMO, what it stands for, but basically is that you've got to understand where somebody's coming from in order for them to understand you. So you've got to understand them so they can understand you.
No, that makes sense.
That's and if they don't, if you don't understand where they're coming from, then it's not going to be a good situation. And it's that trust that you're trying to develop is not going to be there. So make sure you understand to be understood.
Okay. That's a good, good point. Good answer, I mean. Question number 9.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Has there been a leader that's inspired you to where you are today?
There's actually been a number of them. One of my initial ones was actually my high school phys ed teacher, Carol Conley. He was really successful as a basketball coach at the high school level, but he also was a strong individual within the physical ed department. He was the one that I decided to go into teaching at first, even though I never really got into teaching at the high school or elementary grades. That's the reason that I did it, was because of his leadership. As I got going in my career after that, there was a couple of different individuals. In particular, I guess, in the military, Colonel Young, or General Young now, he was always somebody that was real quiet and kind of led in a hands-off way in a lot of ways, and let the individuals do their thing to a certain point. Of course, he was a commander, you know, at one point, a squadron commander, he had to make sure that the military mission got done. But he would, it seems to me, he was allowing his supervisors, his senior non-commissioned officers, to do their job. And I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot from him at the way that he was doing things. And so he was one that I always looked up to and continue to look up to. As well as General Farnham himself, you know, because he was my supervisor for a while. So on the military side, I had some real great military leaders that are still great leaders today. So those are a couple of them. And then there was other ones as well that on the civilian side that I thought did a great job. But one of the things, though, I guess probably one of the primary things was that they relied on every single one of the ones that I had relied a lot and trusted their leadership, their leaders to do the job. So that's one of the biggest things that I got from them, was you have to have trust in the people that are below you, and allow them to do their job in their way, because everybody's going to be a little bit different, but yet they're all going to be successful. So.
What developed your relationship with this leader, and how has it impacted in developing your leadership skills and abilities? You kind of answered, that was leading into the next question. You kind of answered that with that. Is there anything, do you want to say anything else with that, or I can just go right into the next question.
Yeah, what developed my, and how has this helped you in developing? Well, you know, I did model some of the things that the way that I do things after them, you know, because of the fact that they had such a way about them that was effective, you know, and it worked. And so if it's working and then I can develop that same style and not be intrusive to individuals and getting the job done, then that's why
I kind of added in an impromptu question, kind of just try to get a little it says, have you inspired others while leading them in your organization, and how did you recognize this and what did you do in the situation to continue to inspire them further? It's more like if you have an example or an experience of how you inspired others while leading them in the organization and how you continued to do it further after you recognized that you did.
You know, I'm not going to throw out specific examples because I'd like to think that I'm humble enough not to feel like I've made a difference. I feel I've made a difference in some people's lives, Erica. And I'm gonna because you're doing the questioning, I'm gonna leave you aside. I'm gonna leave my family aside, Cameron aside. And I'll put it out to some other individuals, because let me just leave it at this, that if people got inspired from what I did or the way that I handle things and do things, that's great. But that's not my primary goal in leadership, is to inspire individuals. But it is something that is a result. If, you know, any leader, any good leader has individuals that they probably have left a mark with. Those individuals are the ones that you probably should ask that question of. So I'm going to just leave it at that. Okay.
Right. No, that's fine. That's good. Maybe I should try to reword that a little bit differently.
You might have it. Yep. You might have worded right for some individuals, but for me, I'm just happy to feel that some of the teams that I've led, I feel have been successful. I'll give you this one example as a team and not as an individual. When we was in Iraq, I was the electrical superintendent in Iraq, and we came away with the Team of the Month award. So in order for us to get that Team of the Month in a deployed environment, the individuals would have had to been working together. And I was a leader of that team. So as a team, we got that Team of the Month award. And I didn't hear anything negative coming from the team. We did have some run-ins, but in the end, we were all working together as a strong team, and we won it. So
that's great. No, that's a great example.
Okay.
Question number 12, do you have any advice on how to best lead others moving forward into the 21st century? Or moving forward into the 21st century?
Yeah, you see, this gets into a political statement for me now, partly because as we move forward as a country, as we move forward as a global community, the main superpower here in the world, we need to be leading us down some road, us as a world, into a more globalized situation. And globalization, we need to be working together as this, 210 countries around the world. And we need to be thinking as individuals and as leaders on how we can save this planet. There's a real issue around climate change. It's a real issue around global warming. And I guess the leaders of this country and the the young leaders of this country, the ones that are becoming leaders, need to recognize the fact that there's some major issues around climate change. And the quicker that we can get that, we as a leadership, a major leader in this country, can get to recognize that we need to work together as countries around the world, particularly the major countries like China, Russia, Japan, all of the major world superpowers, England, you know, a lot of the European countries, the quicker we can get to that point, the better chances we are of saving some of what's going to happen here in the 21st century by the end of it. If we don't, then there's got to be a lot of adaptations going on and a lot of technological changes that going to have to be rushed through. Anyway, I guess so.
That leads us into
our. We need to be thinking about it as a globe and not so much about it as a nation. We need to be expanding our thoughts, and we're not. I've got a lot more on the political side, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. No, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. No, that is this is the last question. Do you have any recommendations for future leaders of Maine?
Now, I'm not going to talk about the military piece here so much as I'm going to talk about how Maine, although this here certainly is something that the military leaders need to understand, but as overall leaders in Maine, some of the leaders that are going into the future from this state, we need to know how, and particularly economically, how Maine fits into a global market. And it's happening. I can tell you that it's happening. Because, I mean, we often think about how the U.S. can lead in this globalization or in this whole idea around how we as a country can direct other countries to do their business. But I think as Maine leaders, we need to really think about how we can fit into this changing economy. The economy is changing because of the climate change. I mean, we're right now as a state, if you look at 1970s and 80s, the major industries in this state was some of the major industries were the shoe industry and the pulp and paper industry, and it's gone. And it's gone in part because of this globalization. So we need to be thinking as Maine leaders, we need to be thinking about how, continue thinking and thinking forward about how we fit into this global economy as a state. Because we have a lot of resources here, you know, anywhere from the seafood industry to the ability to grow trees and help with climate change and help with this new green economy. So I think we need to be thinking in that sense as far as the state leaders, the economic leaders, and community leaders. We don't want to necessarily think about how the U.S. can fit in the economy. Let's think about how Maine can fit in the economy. That is the question, how future leaders of Maine, so how Maine can fit into that future economy and help save the planet because of climate change.
No, that's good.
Hope that helped you.
No, it did. That's great. Thank you. I really appreciate your time and being part of my master's project. And I will show you the website, the platform where I'm going to display. And if you'd like to give a picture for that, I'd really appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I will try. If not, you might be able to find something, Erica, in your
okay.
Archive.
And I do. I have something. I'll show it to you and ask you before I put it out there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll get the consent form to you, and I'll get that list of leadership roles.
Yes. Yep. Okay. That sounds great.